I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, commencing to read at verse number 15. Let's follow the reading of God's precious, God's infallible and holy word. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 15. The Spirit of God tells us here in Matthew chapter 7, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have done or cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We end our reading there, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to search thy word and study thy truth. And we thank thee that the entrance of thy truth giveth light. We pray that thou wilt take the darkness of our hearts and dispel it. And let the glorious light of the gospel shine into every heart in this thy house today. Do you remember those that mourn, those whose hearts are heavy and sad, those whose lives are pressed down by troubles or trials along the journey of life? O God, I pray that thou wilt help such in this house today. We thank thee that thou hast said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And today, Lord, we take thee at thy word. Manifest thy grace in a very powerful and mighty way. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last Lord's Day morning, we were considering the life of individuals as a pilgrimage, as a journey. That journey commenced, of course, for every one of us at the day of our birth and will conclude on earth on the day of our death. We also noticed as we opened the book of Genesis that Jacob considered his life to be a pilgrimage. He was answering the question concerning his days whenever he was asked the question by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He said few and evil were the days of his pilgrimage. He spoke about the shortness of his days. He said few. He spoke about the sufferings of his days. He spoke about evil and the things that had come into his life that brought great trial and trouble in his earthly pilgrimage. And then we noted that for the believer, that the Word of God rightly calls this our pilgrimage. The pilgrimage of the believer commenced at the new birth. We were born again of the Spirit of God. And it will conclude when God promotes us to glory and takes us home to be with him, absent from the body and present with the Lord. But we also stated in our study last Lord's Day morning that for those along that pilgrimage, the believer along the journey of life, the truth is this, that there are times that we digress from the appointed path. There are times that we turn aside. Instead of walking faithfully, the sad reality is this. There have been times that we have looked back. Do you remember Peter, whenever he was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ concerning his death? And Peter said, "Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." The Word of God gives us a warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. "Wherefore,
He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And friend, that brings us to the reality of backsliding. And where a man or a woman who professes faith and knows Jesus Christ as their Savior seriously loses out with God, the backslider in heart, the Bible says, shall be filled with his own ways. I said to you, the word backslider is found once in the actual word in our King James Version in the book of Proverbs 14, verse 14. But the reality of backsliding, and the word backsliding is given to us constantly when you read the book of Jeremiah, when you read the book of Hosea, over and over again, this charge against Israel was made by God himself, this charge of backsliding. You know, whenever we were looking at this last Lord's Day in conclusion, we did say that the reality is that not everyone that says they're a backslider in reality is. Because not all professing backsliders in reality are so. Because as we read in the Word of God here in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. In reality, they were never in the family of God. And my friend, it is so important when we come to speak to men and women, witness to them concerning backsliding and the way back for the backslider. It is important that men and women are faced with the true condition of their heart. Because we've got to know when we're witnessing to someone if they are a backslider or are still in their sin. If they're genuinely backslidden, then it is important for us to ascertain what was the cause of their backsliding. Because, as we said, the very thing that led the person to backslide is usually the obstacle that the devil puts in their way in getting back to the place of fellowship and the place of blessing. You know, thank God I can say this morning. There is a way back to God for the backslider. If you turn to the book of Jeremiah, we read it last Lord's Day morning, chapter 3. In Jeremiah chapter 3, we read these words in the verse number 12 and also in the verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the south and say, Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 22 it says, Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. And what we notice here, that these words concerning the backsliding of Israel, this was not the word of Jeremiah to these people. This was the word of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. And God had given his servant a word to proclaim concerning the backsliding people of Israel. And thank God, as God placed this word in Jeremiah's heart, Jeremiah, known as the weeping or the broken-hearted prophet, over the sins of his people, he faithfully discharged the message that God had given him to discharge. He said, Return, return ye backsliding children. Thank God there is a way back. There is a way back for the backslider. You know, the devil tells the backslider, there is no way because you've let the Lord down. You have shamed the name of Christ, and the cause of Christ has been brought into disrepute because of your backsliding. And the reality is this, my friend, that is true. It is true that when a person backslides, And the world looks on. We bring the name of Jesus Christ into disrepute, and the cause of Christ is a laughingstock amongst the ungodly. It is a serious thing for a person to backslide. Never look upon backsliding as something simple. My friend, it is serious. But thank God there is a way back to God. Thank God that the Lord says in verse number 22, He says, I will heal your backsliding. Hallelujah. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. I trust and pray that as we look at this passage of God's Word, or the Word of God concerning backsliding, that you will say this morning, Behold, I come unto thee, for thou art the Lord my God. That you will return to the Lord and know the pardon of God Himself for your backsliding. Now, the first mention of the word backsliding means to go back. To go back or to turn back. The first mention of that word in the original is actually in Genesis chapter 3 in the verse number 19. And you'll find that God is speaking to Adam. And the word there, if you look at it, in verse number 19, In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. That's the first mention of the word, going back, or till thou return. And God was indicating to Adam that there would come a day that his body would go back, his body would go return to the ground from which God had taken him from. Turn over to the book of Genesis chapter 50. And in Genesis chapter 50, we have the mention of the word again in the verse number 14. It says in Genesis 50, verse 14, concerning Joseph, And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went with him to bury his father, after that he had buried his father. And therefore we have the word return, or the going back. And when we come to the children of Israel's backsliding, it meant that they had turned back, that they had fallen, that they had turned away, that they had turned around from following the Lord. But I want you to notice, my friend, and I said this in passing last Lord's Day, that when a person backslides, you'll notice something in the Scriptures that I believe it is important for us to see. It means to abandon gradually that which they once professed. To abandon gradually. You see, backsliding in itself does not happen overnight. A person does not backslide overnight. There is a gradual turning away from the old paths. In the book of Judges, the Holy Ghost records 7 occasions when Israel turned away from the Lord. And on each of those occasions, you'll find that God had to discipline, God had to raise up an enemy to teach them a lesson. And through that, God spoke to them again, and in the midst of their affliction, the people repented. They cried out unto God for deliverance and unto God for mercy. Thank God, God will not keep his anger forever. That's what we read in the book of Jeremiah. And you read it in the book of Hosea chapter 14 as well. And we find that when they repented of their backsliding, God raised up a deliverer. Thank God, God raised up a judge to be a deliverer for his people and to bring them back to the Lord again. And friend, let me say this morning. Whenever a person wanders away from the Lord, just as God raised up an enemy to bring affliction to the people of God. So God sends someone or God sends something into our lives to do what God did with the children of Israel, to take away their pride and to humble them because of their sin and to cause us to look back to God again and plead His mercy and His grace. And praise God, through these experiences, we're brought back to the place of fellowship, the place of blessing. You know, when we take our eyes of the Lord, and when we wander away from the Lord, God has a purpose in what God has to do in our lives, because God desires to bring us back. And often God has to use the rod of chastening to discipline His children to bring them back. Do you remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 51? And in our study about the backslider, we'll look, not this morning, but we will look at Psalm 51. But what I want to say to you is this. In verse 8 it says this. He says, Lord, the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Notice what He put it. He said, the bones, Lord. The bones which Thou hast broken. God had to break the bones. And friends, sometimes God has got to do that. God has got to step into our lives, and God, through the rod of chastisement, God has got to humble us and bring us back to the place where once we were. The place of blessing, the place of power in our lives. Now that chastening is not joyous. But thank God afterwards it worketh the peaceable fruits of righteousness. You know, backsliding is not a crisis. It is a process. It is a gradual going back. Now we read this morning, let's turn to the book of Genesis now and let's see this. Because I believe in the book of Genesis we can see this very clearly. Genesis chapter 12. Let's go to the passage of God's word that we read. In Genesis chapter 12, you'll notice it says in verse 1, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham. It wasn't that God was saying unto Abraham. This is a record of something which God has already done. God had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And so God's calling Abram to take the steps of faith. Now verse number 4 says, So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. You know, his pilgrimage started where ours began, as far as our spiritual journey, friend. It started with a vision of another country, of another land. And he takes the step of faith. He goes with God. It says in verse 4, Abraham departed. Now you say to me, but there is complete obedience. Abram departed. Let me tell you, my friend, that's not so. Because what you will find in it is this. That you will find it was not complete obedience. It was partial obedience. If you look at verse number 1, this is what God had said. God had already said this to Abram. Now what did God say? He said 3 things. He said, Get thee out of thy country. That's the first command that God made. Now he obeyed that. He obeyed it. There was total obedience to that. He got out of his country. Now look at the second commandment. God says, Get thee out from thy kindred and from thy father's house. But friend, he didn't obey it. And then God says, listen, he says, go on to a land that I will show thee. In other words, he says, I want you to take step by step and I will show you the land. I'll show you where you're to settle down. Friend, sadly, Abram didn't fully obey the Lord there either. Yes, he did get out of his country. He did leave the Ur of the Chaldees. But God says, get thee from thy kindred and from thy father's house. And what God was calling him to do was this. He had to separate from his kindred. But you say to me, but surely he did it. No, he didn't. Look at verse, let's go back to the previous chapter. It says in verse number 31, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son's wife, Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran, and they dwelt there. You see, it says, and Terah took Abram. God didn't say that. God said, I want you to get out from your father's house. I want you to leave your kindred. And he specifically says, from thy father's house. But instead of him doing it, friend, listen, we find that Terah goes with them, his father, and Lot, his nephew, go with them. He doesn't leave his kindred. He's not fully obeying the Lord. In actual fact, the word Terah, it's well called because the word Terah means delay. Delay. And that's exactly what happened. Instead of Abram fully obeying God and going with God, friend, there was at least a five-year delay. Because instead of going to the land where God showed him, it says this in verse 31. Of chapter 11. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Dwelt there. You see, there wasn't complete obedience. And it's interesting where they dwelt. Because it's well called too. Because if you're not fully obeying God, friend, the word Haran means parched. Instead of going to the place where God was going to take him, God was taking him to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It wasn't parched ground. But the place that he dwelt. Instead of the land with the milk and the honey, he goes to parched ground. And for at least 5 years, you say to me, did God really mean what he said to him? Yes, he did. Just keep your hand there. We'll come back to Genesis chapter 12. Go to the book of Isaiah. You see, this is a complete book. 66 books and yet one. Isaiah chapter 50. And I want you to mark a little word in Isaiah chapter 50, friend. Or sorry, 51 rather. And let's go to verse number 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, unto the hole out of the pit whence ye were digged. Look unto Abram your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone. I called him alone. And yet when you go back to Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, it says, Terah took Abram. And let me tell you what had to happen. What had to happen, friend, was this. Terah had to die before Abram moved on with God. The old man had to die. And I'll tell you, there's a message there. Because if you and I are going to go on with God, friend, the old man has to die. You've got to put him to the cross. The old man that's within us. We have got to crucify the flesh and the lust of the flesh. If it really means you go through with God and go on with God. There's another little verse, keeping your hand in Genesis 12, but I just want to show you something. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. It's a great chapter of faith. Boy, God is a gracious God, isn't he? In the record of the Holy Ghost, in Hebrews chapter 11, when it's speaking about Abram, it says this, if you go to verse number 8. It says, by faith Abram, when he was called to go into a place, when he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And here's the graciousness of God, friend. Do you notice in those verses, there is no mention made of Abram's failure and delay. No mention of the 5 years delay. It's just Abram obeyed. And his obedience in leaving Ur was singled out. You see, Abram was not only to give up his national ties. He was to leave his country. But God also called him to give up his natural ties. To go with him. Because God knew that the natural ties would be a hindrance to him. They'd hold him back. And in reality, that's what happened. Because Terah had to die before Abram moved on. And there was a hindrance until Terah died. And God had commanded him. He says, get thee out of thy land. And then the third thing, he says, unto a land that I will show thee. But Abram stopped. Haran. But thank God the story doesn't end there. Go now to verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 12. It says this, and Abram took Sarah's wife and Lot his brother's son. And mind you, that was another problem. Because there's another part of his kindred, his nephew Lot, and what a trouble he was. He brought him heartache too. And I'll tell you this, he didn't really get real blessing until Lot and him separated. They had to separate too. Not only had Terah to die, Lot had to go as well. You see, friend, God's not looking for partial obedience. Because notice what God said. In chapter 12, verse 1, he said this, get thee out from all of those things. And he says, verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. God's promised you blessing. If you obey him fully, if you and I surrender to his way fully, God has promised to bless us. Now, verse number 5 it says, and Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Thank God there's progress now. They're starting to move. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Verse number 6 says, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. Now those are, again, interesting. Because Shechem there means shoulder, the place of strength. Onto the plain of Moreh. And the meaning of Moreh is instruction. Instruction. You see, what was happening here, friend, is that Abram was still in the lowlands of faith, but thank God he was making progress. And it's only as you and I separate ourselves from the world and walk the path marked out by God, that we will reach the place of strength. And there, thank God, in the place of strength, we will have fellowship with him. And when we're having fellowship with him, praise God, we'll learn instruction from him. We'll get instruction. We'll learn wisdom. We'll learn knowledge. And that's important because you and I need instruction for the rest of the journey. You see, he's not finished the journey here. And therefore he needs instruction, and God's taking him step by step, the steps of faith. Now notice in verse number 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. You see, he's walking in obedience. And when he took the walk of faith, this is what the Holy Ghost says, God appeared unto him. You see the results of this communion. God appears. But notice what happens here. Verse 7. The Lord appeared unto him and said, unto thy seed will I give the land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. Abram erects an altar. I want you to notice, there is no mention of an altar in Ur. There is no mention of an altar in Haran. He sets up the altar. Why? Because he's in communion with God. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him. You know when God appeared unto him? God appeared unto him when he took the walk of obedience. When he took the steps of faith. And friends, let me tell you, obedience will bring communion, and praise God, it will bring fellowship. Now, let's move very quickly. Verse number 8. And Abram removed from thence. You see, he's not to settle down here. He's removing from thence onto a mountain on the east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, Bethel means the house of God. Ai means a heap of ruin. And he pitches in between. You see, friends, we're in this world, thank God we're headed to our Father's house. But my, we're in an old world that's just a heap of ruins. But we've got to realize this. Between them he pitched his tent. You know what that reminds you? He's not staying. He's only pitching his tent. Because the tent, it didn't say he built a house. He's only passing through. And as he was passing through there on that journey, what does he do? It says in verse number 8, he built an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. He's worshiping God. Why? Because on this pathway of faith, friend, Abram's depending totally on God. His eyes are upon him. Now you say to me, preacher, thank God Abram's on the way up. He's leaving the lowlands. And surely he's in the way to blessing. Oh, always be very careful, friend. Boy, the old devil's always about, isn't he? When you want to go through with God, friend, the old devil will try and put an obstacle in your way. Now, mark the next verse, verse 9. Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now, there's something happening here. Because sadly, Abram drifted away, and the tug and the lure of Egypt drew him away from Bethel. And when you forsake the path of faith, for whatever reason, it'll always bring complication. Moving away from God's house will always produce what happened in verse number 10. And there was a famine in the land. You move away from the place of Bethel, the Lord's house. And when he moved away from Bethel, there became a famine. And when a person starts moving away, losing a love for the Lord's house, and sad to say, God's people are losing a love for God's house. They're making other excuses. Now, I thank God for the internet, but I want to tell you this, my friend. A person who can be in God's house, there's no reason why they should be sitting watching it at home on the internet. Because I believe it says, not forgetting the assembling of yourselves together. Together. That's God's word, not mine. And so we find that he's moving away. And it says, where does he move to? In verse 10, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Do you know this is the first time that Egypt is mentioned in the Bible? It's the first time. Now, it's mentioned some 600 times, but this is the first mention of Egypt in the Bible. And it says, Abram went down into Egypt. And Egypt refers to the world. Now, when you read the chapter, the rest of the chapter, when Abram was down into Egypt, thank God when you come to chapter 13, it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. Thank God he left it. In actual fact, I'll tell you, he left it. He got thrown out. For even the ungodly people in Egypt couldn't stomach a man that was out of fellowship with God, because he was living in disobedience and used his wife in a holy way. But I want you to notice something before we finish. Whenever you come here to the story of Egypt, you'll find there's no altar. No altar there. Oh yes, he had the altar earlier on in the chapter, in verse number 7. He built an altar. Came to the plain of Moreh. In verse number 8, he built an altar. He raised it unto the Lord. He's walking obedience. But when he goes to Egypt, there's no altar there. Why? Because down in Egypt, friend, there's no place of communion. No meeting place with God. And Abram went down. You know, that shows us even the best of men can grievously fall. Now, it didn't happen suddenly. Do you see the process? Just step by step. The process. We haven't time to go into this morning, but we're going to, if you go to the story of Lot, the 13th chapter. My friend, you'll see the very same thing. Step by step. Lot. Now, this Holy Ghost says concerning Lot, he was a righteous man. I think that's an amazing statement. But then God knows all hearts. And because I can tell you, when you see Lot, you'll find that Lot just sadly takes steps down. But thank God there's a way back. Oh, Israel, return. Oh, Israel, come back. Time's away this morning. But if there's someone here this morning and you're backslidden in heart and you've grown cold and you've grown careless, the devil says there's no way back. The devil's a liar. Thank God there's a way back
to God, friend. Dear sinner, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you can go in at Calvary's cross is where you begin as you come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, may God bring you back. Backslider, may God bring you back. May you walk the road of confession. Confess you've sinned against God in your backsliding. And get back to the place of blessing. Get back to the place of power. Thank God it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. Praise God. He's got back to raise the altar again. You know, Abram became a blessing. Abram even had to go and rescue Lot. He became a blessing to others. And you can be a blessing to others. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. And sinners will be converted unto thee. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy mercy. We thank thee for thy grace. Oh, we're so thankful this morning that you will not keep your anger forever. Realize our God, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Aye, and even hast to scourge every son whom he receiveth. There are times that thou hast to place the rod upon our back. Even the bones have got to be broken to humble us, to bring us back to the place where once we were. Take me back to the place where I started. God, loose the chains and let me go free. For I can't stay away any longer. Take me back, Lord, to Calvary. Answer prayer today for Jesus' sake.